Mela, kif qal Tony, jiena nispeċjalizza fil-proprjetà intellettwali u interessani ħafna dal-proġett li qed iniedu llum. Kif naraw hemm diversi punti li huma taqxej ġodda u forsi inkrepattivi minn punto di vista legali u fil-fatt ħaniqaf nitkellem bil-Malti għax nibda nitkellem bit-Taljan Malti-Taljan tal-qorti u bil-punto di vista u dunkwe u naħseb aħjar I'll spare you all that trouble għax kif jaf kollegati għaj fuq wara nibda nifesh fil-dunkwe. Xtaqt xaħat qabel għal daħi skellem qabel semma l-artists u il-barmaids u fil-fatt I wanted to share with you li il-liġi għada t-referi għal il-baristas pala artists. Dal-aħħar kelli f-tiċol I had to go through a lot of different laws u il-ħin kollu nsib dil-kelma artist u najt artist issa malfe anyway, that was a little aside. So we now live in this digital environment. Time magazine every year publishes the person of the year. And about 7 years ago, the person of the year was on the cover of Time magazine. There was a big computer screen, a monitor, and they did a silver front. So you could see yourself in the monitor. And that's why it was you. You are the person of the year because they recognized from that day on that Web 2.0 is here. We have this culture where we can directly delve in and influence and shape and contribute to the internet society. And it's very interesting to embrace the way intellectual property now has to handshake with this new reality we're living in. Just for people who are less familiar with intellectual property, we have different genres, you could call them, to keep with the music lingo. We've got copyright, and that's one of the most important, mostly because it is an automatic right. There's database rights, trademarks, patents, design rights, and to a certain extent, the geographical indications of origin. Very quickly, copyright is what you all can imagine. You have copyright in films, music, books, poetry, plays, and the like. And then there is the database right, which is a new right created to protect databases because we've come into this new era where we have a lot of databases being created and in different, don't just think about databases, think about yellow pages. That has been held to be a database. So think, broaden, you know, all the definitions that you know of. In fact, we're going to look at the definition of a database, and it is so wide that anything could be a database. Trademarks are for brands, brand names, band names, and that's where merchandising really comes in, where you develop your name, and you keep on going through the name, and you have a certain reputation, obviously, built and tied to a name. That's why everybody knows who McDonald's is and who David Beckham is, really. I mean, because of the publicity campaign that builds the name. Patents are for inventions, so something that's totally new. And design rights are for the aesthetics of a functional object, such as this really stands in the microphones that Michael has recorded. Yeah. Geographical indications of origin are the way we get to know something because of the place it comes from, like champagne. Only sparkling white wine coming from the Champagne region in France is allowed to be called champagne. Sparkling white wine, made in the same exact method from different parts of the of not only the country, but of the world, cannot use the name champagne. And because of that, because it serves that function of telling you where the thing comes from, which is the function of a trademark. You know that Cadbury, that the chocolate which is Cadbury, comes from Cadbury. That's why it is a function. And because of that function, they are starting to attribute intellectual property rights to geographical indication of origin. So we have to go, as I said, with copyright, which is the most important and fundamental right, because it is automatic. You do not need to go anywhere to register your copyright. It is registered as soon as you created something. And what's very important is that that something has to be created. It has to be fixed. It cannot be an idea on your head. And as soon as it is fixed, you have protection over it. And you are the author, so you are recognized as the author and the owner of that thing. Unless you have a contract, obviously, with someone saying that I'm doing this for you and you will own the copyright. So you have to be very careful. You guys are all creators. Know it, that it is yours, unless a sponsorship agreement or an employment contract dictates otherwise. I'm letting you read the slides behind me. I'm not going to go into them because of time constraints. Copyright is a right which gives you a monopoly. As the author, and you are seen as the owner, you have the absolute right over that thing. So nobody can copy it, nobody can distribute it, nobody can perform it in public, and nobody can communicate it to the public, which is very important because in the past, before this whole digital revolution that we're going through at the moment, communication to the public happened in the scenario we are in today, where there's an audience in a place, all together in one place, listening to somebody or someone or a band or an orchestra. Now, because of the internet, the audience is scattered. It's scattered not only in space, but also in time. I can access it today, and you will access it in a month's time, whatever it is, whether it's a media file, a music file, a film, just knowledge or database. And because of that, they create, in the EU, they created the making available right. Because I am making available something that I have created to you, and at the very important thing is at the bottom, at a time and place chosen by the user. Now, those are restricted acts. You can only do them with the authorization of the owner. And the most important one we always hear about is copying. In the legal term, it's reproduction, a reproduction of a work. It includes a digital reproduction, which is where we have to keep in mind the M3P project, because you might have reproductions of certain works here. And it is in the form of a recording or audiovisual work. Okay, so it's any material form, and it's in the whole or a substantial part of the work. So sometimes for music, it might be a very famous riff or a part from a song that is immediately recognizable, and everybody knows it comes from that song. And one of the most important cases for music is A Whiter Shade of Pale, where there was the organ intro, and everybody knows that song from that piece. And the guy who composed that piece was not the guy who composed the rest of the song. It was a huge case, and he was actually recognized as the author of that piece, and therefore he needed to get his dues. That's what the court said in England. Now, our Copyright Act defines a database. What happened, and I told you before, is that we have copyright law, but then in recent years, because of the emergence of databases, they decided to create a new database right. Now, the EU released it, and countries could do what they want with it, and we subsumed it into our copyright law, but as a separate right. So we have copyright, normal copyright, in literary works, musical works, artistic works, dramatic works, and in databases. And then we have a database right. So it's confused even more, why don't you? You have two different rights over technically the same thing. Now, I trust you have read at least the highlighted pieces behind me on what the law defines as a database. Now, you have a collection of independent works. Which are the songs and the different articles that will be on M3P, for example. So it's works, data, or other materials arranged in a systematic or methodical way, individually accessible. That means I can go on one and access it. Now look at this table and the things on this table. Aren't they a collection of independent works? And they are systematically arranged because I put them there in a systematic way. And they are individually accessible because I can pick one up and put it down again. So what have I got here? On this table, a database, it is a really wide definition. So we have to be very careful in the way we are going to be interpreting it, the way the court is going to be interpreting it. We don't have that many cases at the moment, so what we have is good enough for our purposes. And then we have the sui generis right. That means the right created just for databases. And even I have typos here. it's based on copyright, and infringement occurs when a substantial part is extracted or reutilized. And that means taken out and repeated, obviously. What they wanted to do mostly is to protect the investment here, because they were seeing that with many things, like we said, the Yellow Pages, there was no real creative effort going into it. You don't have to create War and Peace, you know, you're not writing War and Peace, you're just taking things that already exist, pulling them together and creating a list of the different works. So they wanted to protect that kind of investment, the bringing together of pre-existing works. And for this, we have the database right. Very importantly as well, could we say that ours is a dynamic database, that yours really is a dynamic database, because you have a database within a database. So that's a cool thing to keep in mind. We have no answers to that question. Okay. And I did a little map for the M3P project, because you've got copyright in the database itself, which you are creating, which many people are coming together with you to create, and you have the copyright in the content, and all intellectual property is really in the content itself. So if I, Janine, have a song and I want to put it in the M3P database, I'm going to put in a song which is covered by copyright into a database over which I own part of the copyright, because I am a joint author. So we have to be really careful here, because it's going to get really complicated really quickly. And I tried to map out a bit the copyright in what exactly are we talking about over here. And as I said before, as I alluded to before, we have the different kinds of copyright in music. So you have a song. We're mostly dealing with songs here. You don't have copyright for the song. You have copyright for the music and for the lyrics, because you have the musical work and the literary work. As you can imagine, a literary work would also cover a poem or a book. And interesting side note, it also covers software. Then you have the database itself, where you have protection under copyright and under the sui generis right. And what's our biggest problem? Because this is an online database, and we are living in a digital world. And, hello, it's very easy to copy and to use work. So if I'm Janine and I have my song, the download song, and I put it up on the database, nothing might stop somebody else. Michael will come along, he's doing a radio program, or he's doing an advert for radio, and he's going to take my song off of the M3P database, use it for his advert, and sell it out onto the radio, for example. So we have to be a bit careful with these things, about how things are going to be used. I'm sure you're going to think about copy protection, or just open source.
For a radio show might be one thing, but using it for an advert is another.
Yeah, losing it for an advert. Or, for example, on TV. There are all these TV programs, Jamlo Sigla, and or they use it in their what a drum. I mean, people use... I mean, I went to the cinema last time, and they turn off your phone, little sketch... is with a prominent DJ, and it's taken off of Star Wars. He's superimposed onto Star Wars, and Darth Vader is strangling him, etc., etc. And okay, so Lucasfilm will be very happy to know that they've been using his films. But anyway, so that's the reality we're in. But with this reality, another one, a response has come up, and I think it's very interesting to go into even from this project. It's the copyleft or Creative Commons, where basically you disregard copyright, you willingly let go of that, and you say, whatever, I am doing this for posterity, so it's going to go in, and I don't want to be tied down, that my copyright ties down this big project. Before we mentioned the wiki, and they went into it far enough, again, this is where Creative Commons or open source is really taking on. They embrace, and they are the people who really push forward and create this philosophy. So what we're doing is moving away from copyright and saying, I own copyright in this song, but I'm going to put it up on this database out of my own free choice and not have it covered by copyright in this scenario. What I liked from Tony's presentation when he got in touch with me the very first time is a twofold function of the MTP database. And I liked its social obligation, because you have the preservation of musical heritage, and that's why I think copyright and very egoistic principles of copyright, because you use your copyright for a certain reason. You want to exploit it and rake in some royalties at least, or sell it out to films and TV shows to use. But for this project, it's a total social obligation, and therefore we go beyond these things. And the copyright function, which many of you who are musicians know, it's very difficult to prove that you have created something. And sometimes you need to deposit your work somewhere, so that just if something ever happens, you can tell them, hey, listen, ta-da, I created this before you. And posting your stuff onto this database shows that this music was created in this time, and therefore if somebody else comes afterwards and has copied, you say, look, I have proof. And the proof is really strong, because it's, you know, in cyberspace, and no one can really change it once it's in cyberspace. What I wanted to end with is a couple of little anecdotes that I think in the 1800s they wanted to create a dictionary. So what did they do? They asked the general public to send in their definitions of words that they used every day. And that, we can see, is being replicated by Wikipedia. And this is going to be replicated over here. And one of those, well, that dictionary, apparently, is the Oxford English Dictionary. That's how it was created. So it's a success story. We shouldn't be afraid of people contributing their knowledge and that. What we have to be careful of is copyright. Some people are sharks. They really want to protect their work. Laddis and Parry, who are two economists specializing in intellectual property law, say that really and truly the commercial exploitation of a work is only for 6 years after it has been created. Now, copyright lasts for 70 years after the author dies. So that's really long. And we're only talking about a window of 6 years. Some of them are obviously exceptions, where you have Rolling Stones songs or Beatles songs, which have been going on for years and years and years and are still used in music. You remember, when somebody uses your music in a film or on TV or for an advert, they have to do it with your permission. In Malta, it is taken for granted. It is called the synchronization right, and you have to make sure that... And that's where we have to be careful with the MTP, that nobody uses it for these dastardly purposes, okay? That's all I have to tell you, really, for MTP. Okay? And good luck. Thank you. Thank you.